This tape was recorded in the home of David S. Lewis in San Diego on 5 November 1973. The subject discussed was Depression years in San Diego.
Give me a little bit of your background, you know, date of birth, and something about your mother and father, and where you lived in San Diego as a kid, mm-hmm. went to school, things of that nature, just general biographical detail.
Well, of course, I was born in San Diego on Cleveland Avenue, right where Sears and Roebuck's parking lot is now, and that was in on February 17th, 1905.
How big a town was San Diego then?
I imagine I would guess that it was about 60,000.
60,000.
My father was a young carpenter, learning the trade from my uncle who had moved out here from Battle Creek, Michigan. And my father was born in Indiana, and my mother was born in Newcastle on Tyne in England.
And what brought your dad to San Diego?
Well, my mother and father met in Santa Barbara, and what brought my father down here was the fact that my uncle came down here and built a house on Park Boulevard, and he came down here to work with him on the house. And subsequently worked on other houses and became a carpenter.
This was around the turn of the century?
Yes. Well, this was in 1904. And then, like I say, I was born in 1905. And of course, in later years, I had 2 years later, my sister was born, my oldest sister. And then 6 years after, 4 years after that, my brother came along.
So you're the oldest child.
So I'm the oldest child.
Right.
And when I was around 2 years old, my folks bought a lot out in East San Diego, which was nothing but sagebrush then. University Avenue was just a one-way wagon road, and we bought a lot one block south of University, and what is about 40th Street now, he paid $75 for 100 by 100. And he built a little shakeboard house, one-room house, a kitchen, living room, and all was in one room with a chick sale outside. And we lived there for a number of years.
What do you mean by chick sale?
A toilet. One family, two-holer.
An outhouse.
Outhouse, yeah. And
your dad then was working
He was working as a carpenter, he did fairly well for a while because the Pacific Building Company came out there and they started to build houses in the North Park area and also the fringes of what is now known as East San Diego. And then...
Where did you go to school in East San Diego then?
I went to when I became 7 years old, I went to the first grade in a little one-room schoolhouse on University Avenue. I think it was University and Reed Avenue. It is now... Last time I saw it, it was a wood yard. But I went to grammar school there for a while. And later we bought a house on Swift Avenue. And I changed schools.
This is still East San Diego?
All East San Diego, yeah. Then,
how about high school? Where'd you go to high school?
Well, first of all, I went to San Diego High School.
San Diego High School.
But in 1915, my father got a good job working, he was a foreman on the Panama Extravaganza building. It was for the 1915 Panama Extravaganza Exposition. He also worked on the California Tower for a short time.
The California Tower is the bell tower there?
Yeah, the bell tower. In fact, he worked on that first, then he got this job as a foreman on the Panama Extravaganza building, and they built a replica of the Panama Canal. It was about 75 or 80 feet long, and it was a house within a building. The exterior of which looked like one of the locks on the Cobra Cut.
Is that building still there?
Oh, no, that's been torn down. They tore that down shortly after the fair closed in 1917, I think it was. There also used to be an Indian village there, the other side of it.
This was during the 1915
exposition. Yeah. But after that, San Diego being what it was, a place to retire, they discouraged all types of industry. And so it was rather difficult for a carpenter to work steadily. As a consequence, we never were in too good a straits financially. And so, like I say, I am more or less depression-oriented because I was used to it. Although I wasn't quite as used to depression atmosphere as I experienced later in the Great Depression. Because then I had a family to take care of. Before, my father had his family to take care of.
So this is, you're talking now about the period immediately following 1915, the exposition?
Well, I'm talking about,
as far as your dad's concerned.
As far as my dad was concerned.
You say things dropped off after the end.
Yeah. Well, then, he was a good carpenter, and whenever there was any work available, he worked. But it was a struggle because San Diego, like I say, it wasn't industrially inclined, and when somebody built a house, well, there was lots of carpenters to build a house. So he would get his share, you know.
Did your dad confine himself to San Diego, or did he look for work outside of it? For instance, I know you went down to Arizona. As a kid, you spent some time at Fort Huachuca.
Yeah.
When was that?
Well, that was at right immediately after the, in fact, as a matter of fact, the fair was still going in 1915. He was a union man, a great sympathizer, and in those days, the union men, they literally fought for their rights, which they had very few of in those days. And so it so happened that the electricians had asked for more money, and the people in the exposition that they were working for wouldn't give them more money. So they went on strike. But when they went on strike, they weren't satisfied with that. They just tore the Panama Extravaganza building inside. They just tore all the wiring out and wrecked the place.
This was the electricians?
Electricians, and my father sympathized with them.
He was not in the union then?
He was a union man. But he was in charge of the operations after the thing was built. He was a foreman, and they gave him a good job operating there. But he sympathized with the electricians, and so when they tore out all the wiring and everything, as a consequence of that, they had to get out of town right now or go to jail.
The police were after them.
Sure, the police were after them. So my dad picked up my mother and us three children, and my brother was just a baby then. And we jumped on the train and headed for Fort Huachuca because they knew that the government was building some barracks down there and they needed mechanics badly. So we went down there. We landed in Fort Huachuca and there was no housing facilities whatsoever. We had to rent a tent. And our family of mother and father and three children lived in a tent.
You were 10 years old at this time?
Yes.
All right.
We lived in a tent for 11 months, and we went through a winter of 14 inches of snow. Well, all we had for heat was a little oil, blue flame oil stove. And that's what we cooked on, except when we had a Dutch oven and we cooked on an open fire outside.
Now, what brought your dad to bring his family back to San Diego? The labor trouble simmered down?
Well, from there we went up to Prescott and he got into this farming. He went up there to build a schoolhouse for the Mormons who had a ranch up there. And he built the schoolhouse, and I went to that school incidentally for a few months. But in the process, they had 200 acres of alfalfa planted, and they had imported several of these white Russians that escaped from Russia during the Revolution, and they went to Baja California, down below Ensenada.
Now you must be talking about this must be about 1917 then.
No, 16.
16.
Immediately after the fair, 1516, yeah. So, well, it was in the fall of 16, I would say. So he saw that this alfalfa wasn't growing right, simply for lack of water, and he made a deal with the Mormons to flood the fields and raise the alfalfa, and they took him up on it, and this is what he did, and that's how I had to lose my foot in the mowing machine.
So your dad farmed for a while?
Yeah, he farmed a couple of crops out of it. But the altitude got to my mother. She had trouble with her heart, and they had to get out of there, and of course then after me losing my foot, well, he was more or less discouraged. So we came back to San Diego. And this
would be about just before the First World War then.
Yeah, because when he came back to San Diego, we went to work up at Camp Kearney, building barracks up there for the government. And while he was working at Camp Kearney,
Where were you living there?
We were living in the Esmeralda Apartments on 12th Street down in San Diego. And I went to the Lincoln Elementary School there.
That's Esmeralda Apartments.
Yeah. And he made a deal with his friend. They bought 1,200 acres of land out in Bellsville. They were going to farm it. While my father was working in Camp Kearney, well, he was the sole source of supply of food as far as food was concerned, and money. And this friend of his, and his father, went out there, and my mother and us kids, we went out there. And on weekends, they built a little house for us to live in, which was another shake board, or up and down board, one room affair. These two fellows proceeded to clear off land, which was all Satan River. And they did, but then they found they didn't have enough water to irrigate.
Were you and your mother, were you and the kids living out there on the ranch?
Yeah, we were living there. We went to school at the little Dulzer, one room school. It had 8 grades in one room. And we had to ride in a buckboard pulled by a couple of donkeys. But we were very poor because, like I say, my father was working in Camp Kearney, and he would come there on weekends. He'd have to get on a Greyhound or a bus. I don't know whether it was Greyhound or Greyline or some kind of a bus. Come out there and then walk down to where the ranch was, and he'd bring groceries as much as he could carry in his arms. Well, you know, that wasn't too much.
Did they bust out of this?
They went broke. We didn't last too long there. They lost what they had put in the ranch and everything. And just walked off and left it. And that's when we went to Ocean Beach.
You must have been now about, about ready to start high school.
Yeah, pretty close. Let's see. I graduated from the 8th grade at the Ocean Beach Elementary School, and I was between 15 and 16. And I went to San Diego High School to do a streetcar. I know it used to cost 25 cents a round trip. I went to San Diego High School for 2 years, and then I had to go to work because in the meantime, my father had gotten very sick. He had the Spanish influenza that was going around the country, and he was laid up for, close to 9 months. He was in very bad shape.
But this isn't the influenza that hit, is this? That hit during the war?
Yeah.
The terrible influenza?
Yeah.
That's right.
I know I had a paper out, and it wasn't unusual for me to go from one house to the other and see black drapes on the front door indicating that somebody had died.
What was the first kind of work you did, Dave? After you quit school.
Well, the first job I got was driving a produce truck for A.C. Shepherd. And he would pick me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He would drive me down to the produce market, and we'd buy the produce that he wanted. And this was an old auto car, two-cylinder truck. And we'd load the truck up, and he had his route was in the Ocean Beach and all the area between San Diego and Ocean Beach.
This was a private business. Too.
Private business, yeah.
Right.
And I delivered potatoes and strawberries, tomatoes and produce. And that didn't last too long. My wages were $6 a week.
$6 a week.
$6 a week. That was long hours. I remember one day, after I'd done all my work for the day, I had to take the truck out to Alcohol and get a load of watermelons and bring them back, and I got back about 9 o'clock at night, and I almost fell asleep coming back. I was so dead, and I had run off the road before I woke up with the truck.
Were jobs plentiful in San Diego in those days?
No, there was... Like I say, there were very, very few jobs. I got a job in the Neptune Cannery, which later became, I think Westgate bought them out. I'm not sure about that. I got a job as a fish boy. There was nothing that to offer. There was no industry except real small, probably small things that I didn't know about. This was a Navy-supported town that was essentially a Navy town supported by the Navy and retirees, people that came out of here from the East that wanted a nice climate and a place to die, and it was noted for that. San Diego was called a place to come and die, and lots of people have different names for it.
Such as what?
Such as the asshole of the world, and so forth. This is the truth.
There was not too much agricultural industry here then?
There was lemons and oranges, like out in Lemon Grove in Canada, they had, and there was a soap factory, and that's where most of the lemons went. They had a citrus soap, they called it, and they used lemons in the manufacture of this soap. And that factory was down in National City, but most of the lemons came from, all of that area, and oranges. There was quite a bit of agriculture, but of course we never had too much water in this part of the country, so it wasn't too extensive.
Well, Dave, when did you get into the building trade?
Well,
you learn carpentry from your dad? Or?
No, I did. I learned a little carpentry. Of course, I was around it quite a bit because he was a carpenter. And as a kid, when I didn't have anything else to do, I'd go over on the job where my dad was working and watch him. The first job that I got really working on a structure, another friend of mine, we dropped out of high school in the meantime, and another friend of mine and I had an opportunity to go contracting as ladders. We had a plasterer friend, and in those days they used wood lath. They paid you 50 cents a bundle. That's a cent a lath. It's 50 lath in a bundle, and they paid you 50 cents a bundle to nail them up across the study, and then they'd plaster over the wood lath. Well, we did not know how to put them on. We didn't know anything about it, but this lather, this plaster taught us, and we did four or five jobs for him.
Well, this would be when, 1921?
22, 23, 22, I guess.
So you were still in your teens then?
Oh, yes.
How did you get into the painting trade?
Well, of course, I'd done a little of that for my dad. I'd done priming for him, and I had quite a bit of experience that way. And then my mother and father got a divorce, and the man that she later married owned quite a bit of property, and I worked for him for quite a bit, and I did a lot of painting for him.
Did he put you on a steady salary?
Well, he paid me while I worked. There was nothing steady. This is all short-term work. But I went to work for the gas company in 1926. I worked as a timekeeper, and then I went into the main office at the foot of Broadway at that time. This was a construction department. The truth of the matter is I was doing real well, and I was proofreading manuscripts for the Chicago Auditor. Incidentally, the gas company at that time was 51% owned by a holding company called the Bilsby Engineering and Management Corporation. And I was proofreading manuscripts for the Chicago Auditor, and it was very hot. It was in August. And I was perspiring, and because of that, I wasn't reading the figures right every time. I would stumble on reading the figures, and the auditor was irritable about that, and he got after me, and I told him what to do with his job, and I walked out. But on the way...
What kind of money were you making on that job?
$4 a day.
That's pretty good wages for
me. Yeah, it was pretty good. On the way out, the assistant superintendent, I said goodbye to the assistant superintendent of construction, and he said, what do you mean goodbye? I said, well, I just quit this lousy job. He said, what's the matter with you? And I told him, and he says, oh, you shouldn't quit. I said, well, I have. And he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. You got anything else? And he said, well, all we've got left on the work down here is cement finishing and painting. I said, I think I'd like to take a crack at painting. He said, well, go on out and see Bill King, the superintendent, and tell him to put you to work. Well, I did, and Bill King took me under his wing, and he started me at the very bottom, washing out pots, mixing paint, doing all the chores that had to be done around the shop. He didn't put me out on the job with the fingers.
What kind of wages was that back then?
We still got $4 a day.
$4 a day.
And so he was an excellent teacher, and he took a lot of interest in me. He had learned his trade in England. Or Scotland, I'll take it back. He learned his trade in Scotland. And I took a liking to the work. And in 6 months, I had a crew of 7 men working under me at the gas company.
Was this union work, Dave?
No.
You didn't have to join a union to do that kind of work?
No, this was not union work.
Was there a union in San Diego then?
Yes, there was a union, but this gas company didn't hire union help at that time. They did, and later, when I went back again to the gas, and incidentally, they ran out of work. There was no more work, so they laid everybody off. Well, then, I went to work on the Naval Hospital for Dave Holliday, who was one of the men that worked with us at the gas company. He got a contract to do 1,100 openings at the Naval Hospital, and that was non-union work, and I worked for him. I got $5 a day on that. And, let's see, that's where I was when we got married. I was working at the Naval Hospital.
So you worked at the Naval Hospital from about, what, 27 through 30?
Oh, no, no. I was only working there. This was just a contract. I didn't work there more than 2 or 3 months.
Oh, I see.
So, then we got married. Then the bottom began to drop out.
Well, you got married in
1929,
the year of the crash.
Yes. And I joined the union because I had an opportunity to go to work for a contractor, but I had to be a union man, so I joined the union. And I went to work for him, and it was swing stage work. I worked about 2 or 3 days, and that's when we were carrying the swing stage from one position to the other, and I fell in a sewer ditch about 6 feet deep, and I hurt my leg quite badly. And I was laid up. I couldn't go back to work for several weeks, and as a consequence, I lost that job. But Ez was working. That's what carried us at that time. She was working for the I. Rubin people. She was the head sales lady. Well, then, I still belonged to the union. And I stood outside after I got well. I stood outside of the labor temple for several weeks. You had to get your job down there. And there was no job. There were no work. And then all of a sudden, they started to build the Hoover High School.
Now, what date is this?
This is 1930.
1930. So that the Depression was beginning to really affect San Diego.
Well, not especially. Not really. Because, like I say, San Diego was always a Depression city for craftsmen. Unless they built something, which was not too often, unless there was something to cause, like the 1915 exposition, there was no reason, there was no work, no great amount of work, there was no factories.
Was there ever a building boom in this town at that time, like what we're having now, 1873?
There was a building boom in the early days, like I say, when the Pacific Building Company started to build houses, there was a building boom. There was a building boom in 1929. But you know, when that quit, when the crash came, then they started to slope off. In 1929, there was I shouldn't say just 29. I should say 1927, 28, and 29. Things were going pretty good then.
Do you recall what caused this building boom?
Well, I recall to the extent that all over the United States there was a boom. The stock market was booming because you could buy your stock on 10% margins.
You weren't in the market then,
were
you?
No, I was too young. I didn't.
Did you understand the market in those days?
No, I didn't. All I knew was what, as a young fellow like that, was not particularly interested in worldly affairs, so to speak. I knew that times were pretty good. Not that I was getting a lot of it, but I knew that times were pretty good. And people were talking about making all kinds of money on the stock market. I was aware of that. But when the crash came, and the stock started